This is Made in Montana News on the Treasure State Radio Network. I'm Jay Scott. Two Montana flocks of birds have been infected with highly pathogenic avian influenza. That's HPAI. That's according to the Montana Department of Livestock. One of the flocks was located in Judith Basin County and the other in Cascade County. Cases had not been recorded in Montana since 2015 in domestic poultry, but Montana is now the 25th state to report the disease this year. Avian influenza is an infectious viral disease in birds that can cause high mortality rates in domestic flocks. Wild birds can be infected and appear healthy, but shed viruses in their feces, saliva, and respiratory secretions. Domestic poultry become infected through direct contact with infected wild birds or through contact with contaminated objects, equipment, or the environment. The affected flocks have been placed under quarantine and will be depopulated to prevent further spread of the disease. Flock owners are eligible to receive payments for their birds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. As a result of this detection and the scope of the national outbreak, the Agriculture Department is issuing an official order that prohibits all poultry shows, exhibitions, swaps, and public sale for the next 60 days. Exhibitions are an increased risk for HPAI because animals from multiple sources are concentrated in one area during the event. Cancellation of shows and exhibitions is a proactive step to prevent the disease from spreading in the domestic poultry population. Depending on the disease status in 60 days, the order may be modified or extended. Quote, exposure to wild birds presents the greatest risk to domestic poultry. That's according to Dr. Marty Zalewski, the state veterinarian. He says, there's no increased risk to consumption of poultry or poultry products, he continued. Normal food handling and preparation practices that keep food safe are important every day. Sick birds can exhibit numerous signs, such as swollen eyes, discolored comb and legs, significant drop in egg production, or water or feed consumption, or sudden death. MDOL emphasizes that existing safeguards to keep food safe and wholesome are sufficient to protect people. The Centers for Disease Control says no human infections with the virus have been detected at this time. However, it is recommended that people follow proper sanitary precautions when handling birds, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture recommends cooking poultry to at least 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Because of that avian flu, in Iowa, the nation's leading egg producer, quote, we currently have more than a dozen sites impacted by the disease, including three facilities where hens lay eggs. That's according to Choli Carson, Communications Director of the Iowa Department of Agriculture. As a result, quote, we've had to depopulate 11.2 million laying hens. That's a little more than one-fifth of the hens in Iowa overall. Brian Ernest, lead protein industry analyst at CoBank, which provides financial services to agribusiness, says prices of eggs are likely to go up, but not just yet. According to Ernest, retailers will often take a loss on eggs to draw in store traffic, he says. Generally around Easter or Christmas, when people are more likely to bake, quote, we'll see a reduced price on shelf for eggs. So rather than raising prices, some stores appear to be dealing with the higher costs by eliminating their egg promotions. Retail promotional activity was very limited, according to the USDA's weekly Egg Market and Overview, published last Friday. They offer little incentive for shoppers to buy beyond immediate needs. However, the price rise is coming. Quote, I would expect we're going to see at least a 30 to 40% premium on top of typical prices through the summer months as a result of tighter supply, according to Ernest. A new study details some of the changes to Yellowstone National Park over the past 50 years, Some are man-made, others not. Montana State University ecologists Andrew Hansen and Linda Phillips have published a complete study gauging the health of the greater Yellowstone ecosystem and found that since 1970, the ecosystem's human population has doubled and housing density has tripled. Both are projected to double again by the year 2050. Human development now covers an estimated 31% of the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Quote, rural homes more or less ring the public lands on all sides of the park. It's rather stunning to me to look at a map of all the homes that now surround the park. That's according to the study author Hansen. And changes in private land surrounding the park really influence what happens in the park. There have been changes in wildlife. Many elk, bison, pronghorn, and other ungulates summer in the park but winter and go to lower elevations and typically develop private lands. They're not always welcome and are frequently hunted. Ranging animals like grizzlies are more likely to be killed on roads or get into trouble with humans outside of the park. Today there are more than 4 million people visiting the park each year. Large crowds and backcountry trail users frequently push animals into areas where they feed, rest, or even mate. Between all the development surrounding the park and the increased number of people on public lands in and around the park, Hansen says the pressures have built quite dramatically. Yellowstone's subterranean volcanic system fuels an unrivaled landscape of 10,000 geothermal features. More than the rest of the world combined. Bubbling mud pots, rainbow-hued hot springs, and a legendary concentration of geysers giving vent to hot water and steam in sometimes spectacular fashion. The volcanic system is subject to complex fluctuations, and even the park's most reliable attraction, Old Faithful, has changed over the years. In the 1870s, when geological surveyors began to observe the geyser, the time between its eruptions was 60 to 70 minutes. During the 1950s, however, that changed. It's now 94 minutes. Notable earthquakes in 1959, 1975, and 1983 lengthened the time between interruptions. Scientists suspect that Old Faithful once shut down entirely some 800 years ago during a period of extreme drought because there was not enough water in the area's subterranean plumbing to fuel the geyser's eruptions. If Yellowstone's future is increasingly drier, the experts say, Old Faithful and other park geysers may not have enough water to put on these spectacular shows that visitors want to watch. A comprehensive scientific report released last year details another way the park climate has shifted since its founding. Quote, one thing for sure, it was a lot colder then. That's according to Kathy Whitlock, who co-authored the study. The early days in the park were really cold, and the summers weren't as hot. Since 1950, annual temperatures have increased by 2.3 degrees Fahrenheit. The park is now as warm as it's been in the past 20,000 years. Growing seasons in the park's valleys have increased by nearly a month. The warmer temperatures mean that more precipitation falls as rain rather than snow, and annual snowfall is down almost 2 feet since 1950. Spring thaw happens earlier by a factor of several weeks, and with a peak spring runoff through the rivers and streams, that's coming 8 days earlier. All the changes add up to a shifting landscape for Yellowstone's inhabitants, animal and human. Quote, it's a problem for the animals and plants that call park home, according to Whitlock. Hot, dry summers may reduce the forage elk need to survive, and waters become too warm for trout. Cybersecurity is at risk for both Montana State University and the University of Montana, and both campuses are vulnerable to data breaches and ransomware attacks. That's according to an information systems report from the Legislative Audit Division. Quote, each university is in a place where they are spending time reacting to the effects of risk as opposed to proactively assessing risk, according to the report. Critical practices like risk management, although resource-heavy, need more attention. In their responses included with the audit, both campuses and the commissioner's office agree with the findings and pledge to address shortcomings. The report noted that the flagships indicated they are already making progress. Montana and 14 other states are urging the Biden administration not to rewrite its federal Title IX rules, saying the new rules would conflict with state laws, including a recently passed law in Montana that restricts transgender athletes' ability to participate in school sports. According to the Washington Post, the Biden administration is expected to rewrite Trump-era Title IX rules that would make discrimination against transgender athletes a violation of federal civil rights law, and that change is expected to come in the coming weeks. Title IX already prohibits sex discrimination in any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Quote, discrimination on the basis of sex includes discrimination on the basis of sex stereotypes, sex-related characteristics, pregnancy or related conditions. Also, sexual orientation and gender identity. That's according to the Washington Post. Attorney General Austin Knutson and other GOP attorneys general say the change would exceed the department's rulemaking abilities under Title IX and clash with state laws limiting transgender participation in school sports. During the last legislative session, Montana Republicans pushed through House Bill 112. It's currently being challenged in Cascade County District Court. The law requires schools to defer claims based on biological sex. Montana is one of 12 states to institute such a law. Last week, we reported to you that the only ship in the U.S. Navy named after a Montana city will be decommissioned after 4 years instead of its anticipated 40-year lifetime. It appears that the USS Billings, a $500 million littoral combat ship, along with 14 others like it, will be decommissioned by the end of 2023, pending approval from Congress. The LCS program was estimated to be a $3.6 billion project. It will have lasted just one-tenth of the time U.S. Navy leaders had anticipated. There were problems with the ship from the very beginning. During a phase called pre-commissioning, the ship's commander, Michael Johnson, was relieved of duty when the Billings struck a Canadian cargo ship. One of the most vexing and nearly impossible problems to solve was the, quote, combining gear. It is, quote, a complex transmission that connects power from two large gas turbine engines and two main propulsion diesel engines to the ship's propulsion shafts. They propel the ship through the water with water jets. Because of the problems with the propulsion system, the Navy has ordered the ships not to use that gear, which was prone to early failure. But it limited the ship's speed to 10 knots, when it was supposed to be able to achieve 40 knots in combat. Another area of concern for the U.S. Navy was aluminum hulls. The hulls reduced the weight and likely contributed to what was supposed to be a speedier vessel. However, experts now believe the ships, quote, lack combat power and are not built to withstand battle damage. The Navy and the Pentagon had looked at ways to re-engineer to fix the flaws, ultimately deciding after one last attempt in 2021 just to decommission the vessels, saying the cost of repairing the issues makes it unfeasible. And years after a fire damaged the structure of Helena's historic fire tower, city leaders say they're finally optimistic they'll be able to start restoration work soon, thanks to a grant from the Montana History Foundation. Quote, restoration of the fire tower is definitely a priority for us at the Parks Department. That's Christy Panozzo, the director of Helena Parks Recreation and Open Lands. Quote, we've been working for the past couple of years on securing funding. The tower was originally built in 1874. In 2016, a suspicious fire damaged several of its timbers. Since then, engineers' reports have shown it needs even more work than city leaders originally thought. Quote, if all goes well, we'll hopefully be able to have some sort of a project plan and a bid process this summer and potentially be able to start the project this summer, according to Pinozzo. $10,000 of the funding will come from the Montana Historical Foundation. In addition, the city of Helena has allocated $150,000 to the fire tower project. Pinozzo says there have also been some private donations lined up through the Lewis and Clark County Heritage Preservation Office. If you need to hear this report again, please check the podcast on our Treasure State Radio or KGRT-DB webpages. In Montana News is podcast worldwide, with listeners in 46 U.S. states and Canadian provinces in 24 countries on 6 continents. We'll also post our stories on Facebook. Made in Montana News is heard on the Treasure State Radio Network, including KMEH 100.1 FM in Helena, Elkhorn Mountains Radio in Jefferson County, Homegrown Radio in Bozeman, King West Radio in Billings, Rescast Radio on the Fort Peck Reservation, PIVA Radio of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and Crow Res Radio of the Crow Nation. That's Made in Montana News. I'm Jay Scott. This is the Treasure State Radio Network.